Hello, I'm Kara Kinsler, and you're listening to Inside IASB, the podcast series that explores leadership and education topics as they relate to school board responsibilities. The Illinois Association of School Boards, IASB for short, invite guests from Illinois public school districts to offer insight about current and best practices. In this series, IASB Field Services Director Dee Molinari and I explore a set of guiding principles that describe the fundamental duties of board service for close to 6,000 school board member volunteers elected or appointed to oversee their public schools. The Illinois Association of School Boards, which serves nearly 850 boards of education, call these the foundational principles of effective governance. We will unpack each of the six principles to help listeners understand what they mean, their significance in the oversight role of the school board, and how they are actually put to work in a functioning school board. Dee, in our last episode, we dug into the third foundational principle of effective governance: the board employs a superintendent. Hiring a superintendent is probably the board's most important job, and that's because of the next foundational principle of effective governance we will be discussing in this episode. Although the board is legally required to approve all employment contracts, the board delegates authority to the superintendent to select and evaluate district staff within the standards the board established. Principle 4, the board delegates authority, states, the board delegates authority to the superintendent to manage the district and provide leadership for the staff. Such authority is communicated through written board policies that designate district ends and define operating parameters. Before we cut to that conversation, Dee, can you explain what delegates authority means?
Yes, it means empowering the superintendent and the staff to pursue board ends single-mindedly and without hesitation. A board that does staff work disempowers the staff. High levels of superintendent and staff accountability require high levels of delegation.
And so a board does this through policy?
Yes, the school code requires the board to direct through policy the superintendent in his or her charge of the administration of the school district. We interviewed Phil Crest, Community Unit School District 6, on this principle. Board President Mikan Bernardi mentioned examples of the actual policies that direct this. Superintendent Carrie Walkwell shared how, in the most recent times, COVID is an excellent example of delegating that authority. They talked about some of those decision-making powers that were necessary in order for the superintendent to take immediate action on issues related to the pandemic.
Just in reviewing our policies, we have one policy. It's the school district governance, and it basically shows the board's power and duties, and that includes the authority to adopt, enforce, and monitor all policies for the management and governance of the district's schools. So that kind of ties in with different things that we delegate for our superintendent to do, and kind of what our job is as a school board to reflect on that policy.
You know, it's obviously been an interesting time for all of us as a new superintendent just a few months prior to the emergence of COVID. I believe myself and the board were still learning each other. And so it really became a partnership. It's been an interesting process. Let's put it that way. But I think the board did a great job of recognizing that through questioning and committee level meetings, I was then able to really guide the district. But I think more importantly, the questions that came from the board really did provide good governance and direction as we kind of ventured through all of the changes and needs of our students and our staff.
And just to kind of piggyback on that, Dr. Rockwell had mentioned, you know, COVID, and we did create a resolution to give Dr. Rockwell a little more, decision-making process for those things that would just constantly come up. You know, she may have four or five things that would come up during the day, and we felt comfortable that she could make some of those decisions that maybe before she would, you know, share with the board or reach out to the board on. just because there were so many things that took place and just so many different examples of things that were unknown that we'd never really dealt with before.
This board seems to have a pretty thorough policy review process. Superintendent Rockwell described this process for us.
So we have a policy review committee, and we do most of our reviews after a new press issue comes out, although we do meet intermittently as needed between that. For instance, policies were, I would say, pretty heavily discussed as we led up to the board governance recognition application, and also through the addition of new board members as our board changes. I would say there's a higher level of focus at that time. And then also as requests come to myself and or the board from either our staff or from the public, we have to review those policies to ensure we are following them, and then also to see if there are potential changes in the future to better serve our community.
One thing that we had kind of added to our meetings, some of our board policies that would maybe deal with certain things that we make decisions on at our meetings, we've printed out those policies and we've set them right by each member's chair so they can, you know, refer back to the policy. Sometimes if they're struggling with the decision or, conversation about it, they can reflect back to really what our policies are and why we're there. It may not always be the most exciting reading, but we always kind of joke that we thank our policy committee for what they do, because sometimes there is a lot to go over and it can be time consuming, but it's extremely important to have.
They talked about PRESS, which is an acronym for IASB's policy services offering, the Policy Reference Education Subscription Service, better known as PRESS, is an annual subscription service and online resource for school board members, administrators, and school attorneys looking for well-reasoned sample board policies, exhibits, and procedures. The sample material includes legal rationale and supporting legal references. Here's more on their process.
Let's say the PRESS policy comes out. It is then sent to the committee for review individually. And then a lot of times we will talk either via email or by phone prior to the committee meeting if any of the committee members have questions. And then we get together and have a pretty in-depth conversation about what that particular issue looks like. And then it is brought to the board for discussion. So that particular committee, one or two of the members will speak to the content, the changes, the updates, and share those at the board level. So not only are they heard by the other board members, but then also by the public attending the meeting and through those who are reading the minutes in the next month. We have two board members that serve on the committee, and what we tend to do, and actually this was a suggestion from Mike, and I think she kind of learned on her own as she joined the board, but we try and have a veteran board member and then also a newer board member. Mike had suggested early on that that was a great way to kind of learn about policy and procedure and the difference between the two, and as well as the process of updating or revising policies at the board level.
She mentioned learning the difference between policy and procedure. What is the difference for those listeners who may not have that understanding?
Consistent with the legislative intent expressed in the Illinois School Code, school boards govern through written policies that are implemented by the administration. An administrative procedure guides the administration on how best to implement the policy.
What are some examples of other policies that are somewhat standard in most districts that direct or authorize the superintendent or staff to take action or accomplish a specific task?
There are many policies that do just that. Some you can find in Section 4 of our policy manual. For example, Policy 4170, Safety. This policy authorizes the superintendent or designee to close schools in the event of hazardous weather or an emergency. The board assumes that schools will be closed when those conditions occur.
We've talked about the board's role with oversight versus the superintendent's role in management. Administrators do not necessarily want board members getting into the weeds of management decisions. Dr. Rockwell shares an example of a time the board was held accountable to its community and underwent a policy review.
Well, in our last case, which was actually pretty recent and has been a discussion for probably 4 to 5 months, we established a board committee. The policy, I would say, was kind of at the baseline level and could be added to. The policy alluded to the fact that the board could go beyond what was included at the time. So a committee was established, and that committee did research and shared back with the board. And in the end, the decision was, at this time, the policy would stand as it is. But also, I think it was a good educational piece for the board, for myself, and for the community members that asked us to review that policy.
In the next clip, we hear how important it is for board members to understand their role. It goes back to the education and orientation of board members, starting off right.
One suggestion that I think I learned from as being a new board member is I think it's very important to educate and explain to our new board members just exactly what the role is of a board member, what the delegation role is, and what is the role of the superintendent, and make sure they understand that. Because I think sometimes it's hard for new board members to, you know, not come in and try to, I don't mean to, for lack of a better term, micromanage or take on things that normally a board member would not. And so I think really, as soon as they get seated, that's one of the very important things, because I think sometimes new board members may get, you know, bombarded with a lot of things where someone in the community may have tried to go to one board member and they didn't get the answer they wanted. So then they move on to someone who's somewhat new. And so I think it's important that they know going into it, you know, kind of what our role as a board member is and what Dr. Rockwell's, you know, role is.
With the delegation of authority, articulating clear goals as a board and empowering the right leader or staff are so important. Thank you, President Bernardi and Superintendent Rockwell from Fieldcrest CUSD 6 for sharing your time with D&I. Please join us for the next episode when we tackle how district priorities and leadership will be measured with IASB Foundational Principle 5, the Board Monitors Performance. We talk to leaders at Community High School District 99 and look forward to sharing their thoughts with you. All of this and more on the next episode of Inside IASB. Thanks for listening. Please share and follow Inside IASB podcast episodes available at www.iasb.com/podcast. We welcome listener feedback.